Coaches, before we jump into today's episode, we are officially in Green 13 season. If you're not familiar with Green 13, it is one of our favorite things that we do every year. At the end of April, early May, we open up nominations for coaches to nominate any of their athletes they think are deserving of our National Green Award. Athletes have been demonstrating leadership and character at the highest level on their teams, in their schools, and in their communities. We narrow down all the nominations to 13 athletes. And thanks to our friends at Chick-fil-A, each of those athletes get free Chick-fil-A for a year. It's incredible. In addition, they get a bunch of Lead 'Em Up gear and national recognition. Green 13 is an opportunity for us as a program and you as a coach to celebrate your athletes. Log into your portal today and nominate any of your athletes that are deserving and worthy of our Green 13 Award. Once again, nominations are open for a two-week span at the end of April and early May every year. Go in, let's celebrate your athletes, and let's see if they are deserving of this year's Green 13.
You're listening to the Lead 'Em Up podcast, powered by Chick-fil-A.
Thank you for hanging with us today. I'm Adam alongside Kyle as always, and we are joined by our good friend, Miss Kayla Anderson. In case someone listening today remembers Kayla being on a couple years ago, you may be thinking, is this the same Kayla? Because I could have swore her name was Kayla Smith. But no, it is Kayla Anderson. There's been a name update and some. Man, your life's been crazy the last year, Kayla. There's been so much going on, getting married. I mean, your restaurant was getting renovated. You moved. I mean, your life is on. You've been going full speed.
Yeah, I have. It's been exciting. So I thrive and live off chaos. So it's good for me. Yeah.
So, you know, so excited to have you back on the episode. And, you know, if you follow Lead 'Em Up, you are familiar with Kayla because obviously through all the episodes, you hear her voice on the Leadership Nuggets. You see her through our Green 13 and obviously a lot of the campus days that she helps support so many of the schools in her area of Montgomery County, Maryland here where we're at. So you're certainly familiar, but I love learning from you, Kayla. And I know our coaches love learning from you as well, because there's so many parallels from the work you do in the restaurant, right, to sport. I mean, because you're managing a team, you're leading a team, you're trying to win, you're trying to get the most out of your people. And these are universal dynamics that translate not just from a restaurant standpoint, but also to sport. And there's so many things. And today we're going to be talking specifically about the need and the impact of instilling values in your people. And frankly, I think I can speak for almost anyone that pays any sort of attention to just the life of the fast food industry and just kind of the vertical that you're in. Chick-fil-A is different. You guys are different. I mean, the way your staff show up, the way they interact, the level of, you know, hospitality and service that you all provide. And it's almost like, where do you find your people from? Because like I've been to the other locations and the other names and brands, and their people don't show up the way your people show up. Where do you find them from, or do you develop them? Right? Or is it a combination? Let's start there, Kayla. Like, and then we'll go deep in. When you talk about getting people that are different, that show up different, is it how much of it is the selection process of the applicant and the interview process versus like, well, no, it's we develop better than anyone. Where does that balance fall?
It's definitely a combination of both. I think our selection process, specifically for my restaurant, is pretty intense. I get about 100 applicants a month, and I may hire 5 out of the 100, based on a lot of different, you know, filters, whether it's availability or experience or, you know, where they are in their life, how much they have going on. But we do tend to put a lot of emphasis on the selection piece, because once they are on the team, it becomes a lot more difficult to ask them to leave if they're not the right fit. And so if you can become hyper vigilant about the selection, it saves a lot of time and maybe strife a little further down if you can avoid something that you could have, you know, caught early on. So that's been a game changer for us. I've got some tricks, I guess you could say, that I use to try and, you know, unarm people and see through them and see beyond their application and see what they're really all about and to see if they're really a value match for us. You know, the first question you ask is like, why do you want to work at Chick-fil-A? And everyone's, well, I love the food and it looks like fun. And I'm like, well, that's great, but that's what everyone says. So what makes you different? Like, why do you want to be a part of our brand? And I'm listening for words like, well, I like what you stand for, or I can tell that you guys are different. So I'm actually listening for, you know, are they aware of how different we are? Because they need to show up like that to be a part of that. So yeah, selection's a big deal, but also developing once they're in the team and on the team, my goal is to keep them obviously as long as possible for retention reasons. But we have a lot of internal processes that, you know, from training, from day one to orientation, all the way through if they want to be promoted. And every part of that process is hyper-focused on quality of food, quality of service, and really around the value system. Are they mission focused? Do they believe in what we're doing, and do they want to be a part of it? And so we're hitting those things all the way through, every step of the way.
And when you talk about like day one, right? You get individuals in. Does Chick-fil-A like and Lead Them Up? We call them green standards, right? Where our teams identify like, what is it we want to represent? What is it we want to, how do we want to show up each day? And what are the non-negotiables as it relates to our character and values? Does Chick-fil-A kind of have a set similar to like green standards that is like, we are going to be supportive and encouraging, things of that nature?
Yeah. So the values that you choose in Chick-fil-A are probably operator specific. There's not a set of values for every Chick-fil-A. And so if you walk into my restaurant, my set of values, which are really core behaviors and actions and attitudes that I want to see reflected in the team, is specific to my location. And it will be very different if you were to go down the street to another restaurant. I think the values in Chick-fil-A, they kind of reflect maybe how I want the store to feel, the things that are important to me as the operator, maybe also something that I feel like my team is struggling with. I'll pick a value that maybe I need them to level up on. And so let's be hyper-focused on that one. So yeah, we have our own, you know, there are some Chick-fil-A big picture values across the brand, but I tend to make mine very much more personal in my restaurant. So they're personal to me.
So Kayla, you mentioned when people are coming on the team and they're a part of the onboarding that these are brought up and they're trained on them. For a lot of companies out there, as soon as someone goes through that training, they might not hear that again for another 6 months, maybe a year. So how intentional are you about committed to that process ongoing? What's the frequency at which you're continuing to train your employees on these values?
Yeah, that's a great question. Obviously, we hit it from day one orientation. It's described in detail, every value. So we have six, and we'll go into detail on each of the six. What do they mean? How do you show up in the restaurant living out those values? But then we'll also describe, what does the restaurant feel when those values are absent? Because I think sometimes it's almost easier to recognize when a value is missing rather than like, how does it show up? And so that's something that we spend some time on. You know, an average new hire is going to go through probably 3 weeks of training on different positions. And we've incorporated that the values are talked about at every single training session. So before I teach you how to make milkshakes, we're going to sit down and we're going to have a conversation about, sure, like, how do we make a milkshake, right? The fundamentals of the position. But then we're also going to say, oh, by the way, today is Tuesday. And our core value today is teamwork. And so today, what we're really going to be focused on is you and I working really well together because we want to achieve like success on shift. You know, and while we're also having downtime on our shift, we're going to be looking at how we can help the person next to us because today is teamwork. And so we'll hit that value in that moment every single time for the first 3 weeks. And so they're probably going to hear it 18 to 20 times in the first month that they're working for us. In addition, we incorporate the values into like our write-up or our coaching conversations. Every time you have to have a coaching conversation with a team member and say, hey, I really need you to work on this, or this was really good, but I need you to focus more in this area or fine tune that fundamental. We're also going to bring that back to a value, right? Like, hey, I really need you to stay hyper-focused on your portions because portion control is really important. We can waste a lot of money and stewardship's one of our values, right? Taking a good care of the things that we're entrusted to. And so, yeah, we're talking about the portion of cheese on a salad, but how can you in that conversation tie everything back to a value? So you're hitting it all the time, whether it's training, coaching, write-ups. So who knows how many times they hear it in their first 60 to 90 days, probably a multitude of times.
Yeah. So, no, that's important.
Teamwork and stewardship. What are the full lineup of the six values for you?
Yes, we have personal excellence on Monday. We always talk about how we want to start our week out really strong. So starting out on Monday, showing up your best. Teamwork Tuesday. Love alliteration, two T's. Wednesday is going to be honesty, integrity. Thursday is going to be respect. And then Friday is growth, because we tend to have our biggest sales growth, or, you know, for our restaurant, a lot of our records are set on Fridays. And then stewardship Saturday. So those are our six. So.
Oh, good. So, all right. So first of all, I love that every location is slightly different from more of a macro level on the values. Obviously, there's corporate, holistic, kind of overarching ones, but each one's specific to the location, which is very in line for us, Kyle. You know, when you think about, you know, we want each team to create their own, right? Everyone's got different personalities. Right. Everyone different, you know, slightly wants different things and values different things. And, you know, how did these values come about? Is this truly owner operator led?
So that's a good question. I'm not sure how most operators determine their values. For us, we used this happened probably 10 years ago. I sat with my leadership team, and you can buy a deck of cards on Amazon. It's called a value deck, and it's probably 52 to 60 different cards. They look just like playing cards, but on every card has a value. And you can play this game where you set them all out and you read them and you say, okay, we're going to take 60. We're going to narrow it down to like 30, right? Like, what do we want to stand for? And you start throwing out cards and you whittle it down to 30. And then you go, okay, let's go from 30 to 15. And then you argue your way down to 15. And that's where things get tough, because that's where the personalities are on the table. Everyone's coming with their own, I guess, you know, personal reasons why certain values stand out to them. And some of that could stem from their home life or previous experiences in the workplace. And so you're really trying to get them to focus on, like, this is about the four walls that we're in today. And so we'll argue our way down to about 10, and then you got to get 10 down to, you know, 4, 6 or whatever makes sense for your organization. We landed at 6 when things got really tough, but that's the original leadership team that came up with those 6, you know, they're no longer with Chick-fil-A, but the values have stayed with me since then.
I tell people you landed on 6 because you're open 6 days a week. Please tell me that is true.
I can't say that for a fact. I'm so sorry to bust your story.
I have an entire talking script where I say it's, but you know, one of our good friends, Kyle, TJ Rosine, said, listen, don't let the truth get in the way of a good story. So I'll probably still run with it just because the story works, whether it's true or not. But all right, so you got your 6, and, you know, 18 to 20 times, possibly, you know, staffs are hearing about it in the first couple of weeks, and just it's being interwoven. How do you get your leadership staff to be that aware and intentional to do that? Because I'd see for you, like it makes sense. I understand why you, Kayla, like you, it is just so instilled in you to like constantly be weaving it through every aspect. And so much of it probably just happens and needs to happen organically, right? Leaders just need to know, like, make a point, like, hey, connect that back to our value, right? Sometimes it's just them needing to understand it. How do you get them to just live it and interweave it so frequently and regularly through their work? That has to be a challenge.
It is. So I think first they tend to model me. So if I can continue to show up in that way, so at the end of a, you know, my end of week recap email to the team, just kind of highlighting some of the things that we did that week or calling out certain behaviors, you know, I'm hashtag growth, hashtag teamwork. Like I'm throwing it in there, that language, so that it becomes part of that. Like, I guess it's just ingrained, and I'm hoping that they'll kind of pick up on that. And you do, you'll see them start to mimic that behavior. And you're like, oh, I didn't really ask them to do that, but now they're throwing it out there, and that's kind of cool. So it starts with that, but also I'm very systematic minded. And so for me, if I want something to be duplicated or replicated in the business, it has to be in a system. So when I talk about these coachings or these write-ups or these training sessions, I'm not just hoping that they talk about the core values. It's literally on their checklist. Like, hey, you know, sit down with a team member, talk about their behavior. Which core value does this violate? And it literally has them listed. And so it forces there to be a conversation about the core value. The leader would have to literally skip that section purposefully. And then that conversation would be avoided. So for me, it's, you know, we're not just having these free floating conversations. Everything's kind of following a script and just making sure that the script includes the core values at some point. So they might not have the conversation at the depth that I would maybe do it myself or that I would want it done, but at least they're saying it out loud every single time. And then you got to get some people around you that rally and that love it. And eventually it sort of just takes wings and it just kind of flies solo. So coming back to the 6 days a week, that was not my idea. That came from a leader who was like, I'm having a really hard time memorizing the core values. So do you mind if I just assign one to every day of the week so I can memorize it? And I'm like, sure. So she came up with it. And because she was my training director, that's how she taught it to the team was, hey, I have a hard time memorizing these. And so this is how it works for me. I'm going to teach you. Well, little does she know, that was 7 years ago, and yet we're still talking about it. So she systemized it as well for herself. So, you know, they say you got to hear it 7 times before you actually hear it. They say you got to repeat yourself until you just want to kill yourself. I mean, you got to, like, as a leader, I mean, if you're a really good leader, you know, you have to constantly repeat yourself just to no end. And at some point it just feels like you're beating your head against the wall, but then magically it just, one day it sticks and you look up and they're doing it and you're like, wow, okay, it's working. Yeah. And once it's in your culture embedded at that level, I almost can take a step back and go, okay, this thing is working without me, but the investment on my behalf, I would say it probably took me like 3 to 4 years to really harp my team on it. So You got to really, I mean, you have to be committed to it for it to stick.
And what you just said though, is when you get to step back in our world of athletics specifically, like that's when they say it's a player led team, not a coach led team.
Right.
Right.
Which always outperforms. Kyle, go for you.
Yeah. Kayla, I'm curious because, you know, you have a team that's operating at a high level, but for anyone listening, you know, that level of success doesn't just happen overnight. And you've gone through processes to put these systems in place and focusing on the details. What's one of the biggest lessons that you've learned throughout this? You know, when you think back over the years of putting these things in place and getting things to operate the way that they are, if someone's just starting out in a role similar to yours, what's the biggest piece of advice, maybe from something you've learned over the years that you could share?
Wow, that's a good question. So specifically in the values space, I would say you have to preach it as if you just fundamentally like believe in it so hard. And you've got to get so excited about it, even when every face staring back at you is like, I don't really give a crap about this. Like, you can't let their like non-excitement, not bought in, lackadaisical, apathetic kind of attitude toward what you're saying affect the vigorous amount of pressure that you put on it. Because a lot of times we can do that. Like, we're all in and we see these faces looking back at us that are like, eh. And then we start to second guess ourselves and go, okay, well, maybe this is too much, or maybe I should go a different direction, or maybe I shouldn't say it so often. Like, I'm kind of annoying them. Like, you cannot let them dictate like the level at which you show up consistently every single day. And again, I would say find one person on your team, recruit one person around you that believes in it just as much as you do, and just ask them to be an advocate, to stand next to you, to repeat it. I think that's where I would say it helps the most. A, don't do it alone, and B, just don't let anything deter you from the amount of pressure that you put on your values. So
yeah, I love what you shared there just about finding one person. And I think a lot of coaches and leaders can take away from that, because I think we've all been in that situation when we're dealing with young people, especially. I know you have, you know, teammates that are of different ages, but I can think back to different experiences, whether it's in the classroom or working with teams, like you said, where you're preaching something you believe in and you're looking at people that might have that deer in the headlights face. But if you find that one person who's locked in and engaged, all of a sudden that gives you a spark, or you're like, okay, it's hitting with this person. And now you have the confidence to continue to preach it. So I think that that's excellent advice there.
Kyle, that it really is actually it's our first like exercise.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
100%. What it is Kayla manufacturing the first like. Wait, which maybe that's a great reminder for us as coaches and as leaders, like, yeah, we hope, you know, that when we share this, that you'll get this natural excitement response from them, that they will then just jump in and quote unquote be the first like. But sometimes it doesn't happen. But maybe you can manufacture, maybe you can have some side conversations with individuals and get them individually excited, and then kind of then bring them into the fold of the conversation during your next team meeting and saying, hey, I'm going to go to you if you're okay with that, and just let you speak on an experience. And now all of a sudden you're manufacturing excitement, right? You know, it's okay. It's okay if that's helping move things along. Don't feel like, well, I just want it to genuinely happen. Well, like, Kayla, you're shaking your head because, you know, like, that may not happen. Yeah. And you know what? It's this is too important to leave to chance.
Yeah, I can't agree more with you that there's nothing wrong with, like you say, it's manufactured maybe. I call it systematic. Like, it's okay if it's kind of calculated in that way. Like, you got to do what you got to do. So,
but calculated today will produce natural tomorrow.
Right. Absolutely. Give them permission. Like you say, give them permission to speak into it, or say, hey, I'm going to call on you, or say, hey, I'm going to have you lead the next huddle and I want you to focus on this topic. You know, I think that is just, and it helps if that person is liked and respected by the team, right? If you can find, you know, someone that they kind of tend to follow, especially if you're feeling like they're not following you that much, maybe they don't trust you quite yet, but they have an assistant coach that they've been with for a long time, right? And you're the new guy on the scene, like, maybe getting him in on it and saying like, hey, I really need you to help toe the line when it comes to this. So, and yeah. You know, and I'm not going to sit here and tell you all my leaders are great at this, but you know, I can name you three or four or five right now that, I mean, they're drinking the Kool-Aid almost more than I expected. Right. And that's like, that's not a bad thing. I'm like, all right. Yeah. You like, they're coming up with their own jingles and they're doing their own things. And
let them
I'm
run
like,
with it.
Okay. All right. This is awesome. Right. I might have to poke and prod it and keep it within boundaries, but like, all right, you guys are good. So
let's, Kayla, you know, it was a couple, and I was talking about this before we started recording here today, but like, it was when you first came on maybe a couple years ago onto the podcast. And I remember, I'll never forget this, but you shared how, you know, these six values that you talk about, you go through them every week, right? And the personal excellence on Monday and growth Fridays and Stuart Saturdays and things like that. And you just go through it. I'll never forget you just saying like, yeah, we do it every week and we do it pre-shift and we talk about how can it, what's it going to look like today? Or what's an example of what you've seen in the past? And I remember asking you like, just doesn't it get redundant? And you kind of gave an answer alluding to the fact that yes, but this is also what makes us different, you know, and it's also what really separates us. And I'll never forget it. It had a profound impact on me because we teach the Greens team. That is our core foundation. Obviously, we have a lot more than that, but we have the seven rules of the Greens team. And we go through them all the time. And Kaylee, you changed me because I find those moments where I'm like, they're getting bored of this. They're getting tired of this. They don't want to hear this anymore. This is being redundant. Like, come on, Adam, I've got to jump ahead. And after that, it changed my whole approach, Kayla, frankly. It changed my whole approach that now, I mean, I am in. And Kyle knows what I do now when I go back with the team and I keep going. What do I keep a Chick-fil-A or a Starbucks gift card, true story, Kayla, in my pocket at all times. It's in my wallet, right? $20 for each, $20 Starbucks, $20 Chick-fil-A. I've talked about this with our team. And when we start our lead them up sessions, I go through, can anyone tell me off memory the seven rules of the green team? And if they can't do it, which they almost never do it, right? Because I don't do it every session. Okay. It's not every session. By then they would figure it out. But, you know, I do it at the beginning. But I remind them, like, how can we truly live it if we can't even remember it? How can we sit here and say, oh, yeah, I've learned the green team. Oh, yeah, I know the whole dynamic of the green team. If you can't even tell me the seven rules of the green team, all you've done in this moment is tell me you've heard the green team. You haven't fully learned it. And we talk in the learning retention pyramid, the highest level is when you can verbalize, articulate it, and teach it to others. That is truly high level demonstrated understanding of the topic. And I don't feel bad anymore about continuing to hammer it home because you inspired me to do that. Because you said, listen, it needs to get instilled in them. And I want to ask you, Kayla, this deep instilling, when it gets there, what is the power? What changes when our team doesn't just kind of know the values, are somewhat familiar with the values versus, oh, they know it?
Yeah. It might show up different in sports. You know, I live in a little bit of a different world, but for me, the team will show up different. Obviously, when the team shows up different, that impacts the guest experience, right? So for me, if they're showing up their best self, personal excellence, growth, teamwork, stewardship, it's going to translate into what I hope is a really great guest experience. But on the team, it's going to drive retention. It's going to drive, you know, workplace satisfaction. It's going to drive other core values. When everyone's showing up, you're going to show up better for your teammates. The culture and the way it feels in the restaurant is going to be uplifted. It's going to be focused. And I think ultimately, all of those things are what for me lead to great results, right? I'm looking for, you know, sales and profit and transaction count and labor reduction, you know, and I need them to be perfect on food safety and perfect on quality food, you know, and I've got all these different assessments and, you know, results that come into those buckets. But to me, they're all tied back to how's the team showing up today? Because I can preach all day that I need them to move faster in the drive-thru or, you know, be more focused in the kitchen. And I can yell that all day. But if they're not team members that feel like they're part of something bigger, then I just don't know if they would listen to me, to be honest with you. I mean, they're 16 and 17-year-old kids. This isn't their passion. This isn't what they, you know, want to do for the rest of their life. I've got them for this very brief moment of time while they're climbing the ladder or juggling sports in school. And I've got to convince them to care about a chicken sandwich, and to care about moving the cars just a little bit faster, you know, and how do you do that? Like, well, it's gotta be more than the paycheck. Cause honestly, minimum wage, they're still not getting paid, you know, well, in my book, right? Like, I look at my team and I'm like, you can make the same amount of money sitting behind a desk at the library, twiddling on your, you know, your TikTok phone. I'm asking you to work hyper vigilant at its supersonic speeds and to care about every single detail for the same amount of money. So they've got to really love where they're coming to work. They've got to really be all in. They've got to really care about their teammates. The culture for me is everything. It is the heartbeat of the restaurant and everything stems from that. So
and Kayla, and let me just ask real quick. Can you still experience all of those high level things if the values are only partially received and lived, or does it need to be fully?
Well, you can probably get the same results. But I would argue, is your team happy, fulfilled, focused? I can drive just as hard on the results and be a little bit more of a dictator, a little more tyrant style, do as I say. I prefer to lead a little different. So, you know, leading from inspiration and, you know, aspiration is better. So, yeah, I mean, it's hard, right? There's no intrinsic number to put on values. Does it, do the values actually lead to increased sales, increased transaction count? Can that be correlated? I don't know, but I can tell you it certainly feels different to me. So the team shows up for each other different. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's fantastic to hear, Kayla. I'm curious, as you are a leader of leaders, so what are some of the details in your personal life that you pay attention to that allow you to show up at a high level? Because you have to show up at a high level when you have people depending on you, when you're leading the other teammates who will lead your staff. What are some things that you find it necessary that you've really got to pay attention to in the details of your life that allow you to show up at a high level and be at your best?
Taking care of myself is definitely a top priority. It wasn't that way for a long time. I would say the first like 5 to 6 years of my Chick-fil-A journey, I was more focused on my business. Really head down, kind of all in, but at the sacrifice of what, right? Social life, spiritual life, friendships, peace, physical well-being, mental well-being, right? There were a lot of sacrifices made during that season to plant the seeds and grow the thing. Now my focus is a little different because I do have to show up a little different. So for me, spirituality is really big, making sure that my head's in the right space, that I'm spending time, you know, strengthening that area of my life, making sure that my relationship with my husband or my family are really important, finding that balance, that quiet time. And then just quiet time to reflect on the business. There's 1,000 reasons why I should be at the restaurant today and not talking to y'all. There's 1,000 things that distract me from sitting down quietly behind a stack of reports and, you know, a plethora of Excel sheets that at the time can seem, okay, well, I don't have time for this right now. I need to go to the restaurant, right? We got 2 call outs, you know, the drains are backing up. You know, all these different things are going on, but I've got to carve out time to look at the business and do only what I can do, right? So those are the things that I'm really hyper-focused on outside of the restaurant. Peace is a really big priority for me. I know, Adam, we talk about this sometimes, just to me, the hustle mentality is not my favorite. The busyness mentality is not my favorite. I prefer to be in a headspace where I'm very grounded. And for me, that might look like sleeping in a little bit, reading, taking time to read a murder mystery, taking time to take a walk, taking time to turn TV off, taking time to maybe say no to the gym today because I need to just have some quiet time. So for me, I think I'm wired a little different than some people in that space, but that
allows me to show up my best rather than feeling a little strung out across so many things that I'm trying to get done. So I try not to have too many distractions, I guess you could say.
You know, it's a very interesting paradox there, because it feeds off each other. You want to be your best for your team and you want to give everything to your team. But like that starts with like taking care of yourself first, but like you want to take care of them. Well, like they feed off each other. You have to take care of yourself first if you're going to be able to best take care of them. And I actually think, Kayla, I think you do a great job with this. You know, you just even on social, you know, you'll have your moments of candle, book, you know, quiet, you know, you'll have your moments of, you know, go to the Rio and sit in that grassy area and just chill out and all that. But like, and, you know, I think about me, like my wife jokes all the time because I nap a lot and I'm just like, I nap so I can be better for that.
Yeah.
What's that? Like my kids, you, like lead them up, my teams, my group, like, yeah, like I do go to bed at like 8:30 a lot with my girls. When it's bedtime, I'm like, it's bedtime for me too, right? Let's go. And I do it because I want to be at my best. The standard is really high. And I know your standard's very high for yourself as well. And these are all just things that are allowing you to live at that standard, i.e. hold those values at the fullest extent, right? Day in and day out. Because as you mentioned at the beginning, it starts with you. Everyone's going to emulate you, mirror you, model you. And it's important to be, this changed my whole perspective a while back, Kayla. Like our teams will do, they will follow our example, but more so they're looking for the lowest level of our example to see what they can get away with, right? Like they're looking to see, well, Kayla doesn't honor growth Fridays. She doesn't do Stuart Saturdays well. Maybe I don't have to either, right? Wow. Mm. So we have to be at such a high level. Kayla, what does, this is my last question here from a value standpoint. The day-to-day, what does that look like when you're having your kind of pre-shifts? When you're saying like, hey, we focus on personal excellence Monday, what does that mean? Like I walk into the restaurant behind the kitchen, it's just like signs of personal excellence everywhere. And like, hey, sign a code of personal excellence conduct today. Is it just conversation? Is it pre-shift? What are some strategies, techniques to actually keep these values alive and fresh and new regularly throughout the week?
Yeah. So you're definitely going to see it posted in my restaurant. We're not going to like change it out every day. Right. But there's giant posters in the kitchen that describe the values based on the days. So they can reference that at any point during the shift. We do a shift game plan or a setup sheet, which kind of describes, here's all the people coming in today, here's all their positions, here's who's going to have breaks. There's this kind of game plan that we call it. And across the top is going to have the core value. And then they're going to do, you know, at Chick-fil-A, our shifts are kind of all over the place. We don't really have like the beginning and the end. It's just kind of ebbing and flowing all day. I would love to be in an industry where I could hit pause on my business and have like a 5-minute conversation before we kick it into high gear. But, you know, we have to kind of mesh all those moments while we're actually open serving guests. And so you'll see us kind of call, a quick huddle in the drive-thru or a call to action. You'll hear us call it the power hour, which is our 12-to-1 time, right? And so it's the time where we're all focused. Everyone's typically in the building. And so you'll hear the leaders say, all right, get ready for our first power hour. You know, today, you know, what's our core value today? And, you know, she's prompting them to answer out loud, like, it's teamwork. Okay, awesome. So what is teamwork going to look like today? And she'll call them out and have them give examples of, you know, what that's going to look like on that shift that day. And so she'll do the same thing in the kitchen. I'm using she as an example. I have many leaders, but I can think of one specifically that I'm kind of thinking about in this moment. And so we'll repeat that front of house, back of house, making sure everyone's rowing in the same direction. Everyone's on the same page. And we'll do that same thing in the dinner time hour. And again, along the way, there's training, there's coaching. there's all these other little micro conversations that are happening, and those will be a part of those as well. So it's kind of all laced together in this beautiful, at the end of the day, it's like, well, how many times did we talk about our values today? Quite a few, I would say.
You exposed another wrong truth that I have been telling in my story here, because I'd always tell people when I talk about this that I thought you guys had pre-shift meetings. I did not, like, I'm thinking back to when I was managing the restaurant, you know, and it really is that clean, like, start and right. And we get 10 minutes with your AM staff and everyone huddles up and then we go. I'd always tell people, oh yeah. So, you know, what they do is 10 minutes before they sit and they huddle everyone up. These are lies. I'm telling them. My gosh.
I mean, it's I get a little jealous of, like, the athletic world. You know, you have a clear start and end to when you're, like, your performance, right? And so you even have practice time, right? Where you're practicing. I don't get to practice anything, right? We don't get practice time to talk about fundamentals. We don't get, you know, pre-game locker room, you know, meetings. We don't get a halftime to talk about our performance and make quick, you know, adjustments and change and then go back out and continue the game. So I'm always a little jealous. I'm like, what an opportunity that coaches have in their industry. Like, are you making the most of the fact that you are literally given the opportunity to have these micro moments and these conversations to lead to the ultimate performance once you're playing the game? And I really don't get that opportunity. You know, we're on from 6 a.m. to 11 p.m. There's not one moment in the day where I can pull the whole team, even for 30 seconds, to have any kind of conversation. It's got to be these, like, weird, you know, forced kind of moments throughout the day. You know, and Adam, we talk about this all the time, but there's coaches that maybe they kind of shy away from the lead them up stuff, right? They're like, I don't really know if we have time for that. Or, like, we, you know, we offer them free sessions, free campus days, and it's still hard to get them to buy in. And it just grinds my gears. Cause I'm like, man, you have this incredible opportunity and you have the opportunity to just pause what you're doing and talk about this. Like, I would die for that. I would love an opportunity. So
great call out. Yeah. Real quick. What happens when you have an employee who only works Saturdays? The only thing they know is they need to be a great steward. They don't know about teamwork. They don't know about personal excellence.
That's a good call out. That's a good call out, Adam. Hey,
as we close here on this episode, and you may have already touched on it, but just to kind of bring us back. We always say in sports, when it comes to values, there are far too many programs where the values are things that live on the walls, but not in the hearts, right? They buy the banners. It's in the locker room. They buy the signage, but it's not really being lived out. It's not being demonstrated. The athletes aren't showing up that way. They don't even know them half the time. You know, they're just kind of words, almost like they check off the box. We did our values exercise. Check. Done. Kayla, what have you found to be the most effective way to truly get those values off the walls and into the hearts of your people?
I would say two things. One, if it's having a hard time sticking, do you have the right values? So giving yourself permission to go back to the list and say, is this really what we're all about? Or do I need to tweak it? Because typically if I stop preaching something, maybe it's because I stopped believing in it myself. So is there an opportunity to maybe tweak that a little bit so that A, you become re-energized about preaching it, teaching it, living it out into your team? But I mean, I'll say it again. You've got to talk about it all the time. Take it off the wall if you need to and talk about it instead. I don't know. Don't rely on the posters. Posters are there only to give visual representation of tons of conversations that you've already had. Put it in your training. Incorporate it in the days of the week. Put it into your, you know, discipline or coaching conversations. Reward them for good behavior when they are modeling it, calling it out when you see it. You know, do a team, you know, a team member or a student athlete of the month that demonstrates core values, because maybe they're not the best on the court. Maybe they're not the fastest on the field. Maybe they're struggling with some of the fundamental movements, but maybe they're showing up in a value category. And can you reward that behavior? And so that it becomes something that they start talking about. Do pop quizzes. Hey, who knows the values, right? And, like you do at the beginning of your talk sometimes, like calling it out and saying like, who knows it, you know, and eventually that might stick. So I just can't emphasize the fact that it's a nonstop every day, all day talking about it.
I think what you're landing on there is a great reminder. Like there are no shortcuts.
Yeah.
There are no shortcuts. There are no glamorous, like, all right, give me a quick fix, Kayla. I'm going to get these values instilled in the hearts of my players today. There isn't. You have to live it. You have to breathe it. You have to truly, truly believe in them. And they need to stay front of mind, as we always say, active thoughts, not afterthoughts, active thoughts. Active thoughts live front of mind. They drive behavior. They steer our directions. And the values in your program need to be collectively established, and they need to live out. And Kayla, thank you so much for just kind of shedding some light on the importance of values and knowing that, like, when we hear it from you, like, you're able to demonstrate the impact that they have on the product, because we know the type of level and standard that is held in Chick-fil-A's and the performance that is generated in your world, but it translates. So values matter. Kyle, anything you want to chime in on as we wrap up here?
No, I just think it's a great takeaway to be able to hear Kayla's experience and how she leads people and how we as coaches in the sports setting can learn from this and the really focused approach and the intentional approach we need to take on a day-by-day basis. So, Kayla, appreciate all the wisdom that you shared with us today.
Absolutely. Until next time, I'm Adam. He is Kyle. And on behalf of the entire Lead 'Em Up team, coaches, have fun. And lead them up.